This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Like the great Mark Stevenson said to the great John Radford, milk it. I think that's considerably milked, don't you? Hello and welcome to the Mansfield Matters podcast. Shall we do this properly by playing the jingle? I think we should. I think I've padded enough in just enough so I can find this button. Hello, good evening and welcome to the Mansfield Matters podcast, the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. And you know what they say, you should always have manners in football. Well, the one thing you should do is you should always say goodbye. So tonight we say goodbye to an old friend. That old friend being Sky Bet League 2. As with one game remaining, the Stags still have a fight on their hands. What are they going to have on the open top bus parade? Is it going to be a plaque for finishing second, or is it going to be a medal for finishing third? Let's hope it's a plaque for finishing second. Come and join the conversation tonight as we continue to celebrate our promotion to Sky Bet League One, as we're also joined by fellow promotion-winning podcasts from Stockport and from Wrexham later in the show. First, though, we delve in to that game against Gillingham on Saturday. Yeah, you know, the one where we won 2-1 and the players were pissed. Hello and welcome to the Mansfield Matters podcast. It's the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. Hope that you're doing well and you've had a fantastic week. We had a great night last night at Nick's Shirts event at Mansfield Museum. If you haven't got tickets yet to go and see his second show, make sure you do. Joining me tonight, well, usually I would press the little button and reveal people who are on the screen, but you can obviously see who I've got with me here at Mansfield Matters HQ. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't, Cam, did I? I didn't forget that you were coming at all, did I?
Ish.
I did not forget.
Ish.
I was not completely surprised when you knocked on my door half an hour ago and said I'm here for the podcast.
Ish.
So, yeah. Cam is with me tonight at Mansfield Matters HQ and joining us virtually to joining the party. Let's say hello and good evening to Alan Wilson, the PA King. Evening, Al.
Good evening, Craig and Cam. Good evening, everybody.
And let's say hello to Clive P. Evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good to see you as always. Thanks for joining us tonight. As always, if you want to get involved in the comments and have your say on your team, you can do so. Right, I'm going to put this on full screen and see if we can get the chat on there anywhere. I don't think we can. I don't know how to do it. Oh, well, we'll figure it out. I'll take it off full screen and we'll get the chat there. There you go. Anyway, Cam can read the comments tonight.
First comment this evening comes from Simon. Evening, all with a squad littered with League One experience. If we didn't actually sign anyone, where would you think this squad would finish next season in Sky Bet League One?
It's a very good question, and let's put it first to Alan Wilson.
Midway. Just above halfway.
Clive?
I've not seen a lot of League One football apart from what's shown on the highlights on television. But I did watch the televised game on Friday and it was awful. I mean, if that's what we're going into, we'd do well with you and me playing. but I think Alan's about right. We won't win anything, but we shouldn't be frightened of dropping out at the first time either. But no, we do need to strengthen the squad. It's a good question, but it's pointless. We're going to have to broaden the squad.
And it's one we'll delve into, Cam, you know, in the end of season podcast, which will take place. We have a confirmed date at last. Here it is. We've got a confirmed date at last for the final podcast of the season, Sunday, the 5th of May. So a week on Sunday, we'll be here. We'll all be together. So please, Alan and Clive, come and like help me and not be with this. As you know, we'll all be together. We'll all be together in one place. There will be cake. There will be a special cake for everyone. Sunday, the 5th of May, everyone will be around at Mansfield Matters HQ. Come and join us. We will be live at, what time did I say? 3 p.m. 3 p.m. Sunday, the 5th of May. More on that later in the week. Shall we delve in to Saturday then, Clive? You know, we knew that Nigel Clough was going to put up a fight. We knew that we would see a little bit of a battle from the Stags as they tried to get in their quest to finish second in the league. But equally, Clive, we knew that the players would be playing pissed.
Yeah. I thought, considering what we expected from them, they outperformed. I thought they were sluggish in the first half and we just took it apart in the second half. But I thought the highlight of the day was the chant. How crap must you be? Our players are pissed. I thought that summed it up nicely.
It certainly.
I don't think any of them were pissed, but I do think they'd lost their edge slightly.
No, they were. Cam, they were pissed.
Oh, James Gale. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he was. He was clearly still wasted. I think, like, instead of having Lucozade in the warm up, I think he finished another bottle.
He must have done, but I don't know which one was more impressive—the fact that they managed to play pissed, or whether they managed to pull that out in the second half.
Well, that's it, isn't it? I think it's probably more the second half performance. That said, Al, you know, we clearly were worse for wear in the first half. That's no secret. Even Nigel Clough, as Ross says in the comments, admitted that there were a few players, James Gale included, who were playing drunk. But it just goes to show, doesn't it, that you can't keep, like, no amount of alcohol can keep a good side down, hence the second half.
No, definitely not. And it's Mr. Keeler Dunn ignited everything again, didn't he? He's just one exciting player he is. Every time, you know, he is either starting or he comes on, he's just the business. And I just hope we're able to keep on to him because I think he's the one now that seems to make Mansfield tick. Second half was completely different to the first half, wasn't it?
And in retrospect, Clive, as well, you know, the fact that we did sort of come back in that second half and turn the game on its head and manage to come out with a victory does say a lot about us, but it also says a lot about what Nigel Clough is standing for. You know, it ain't over until it's over. Yes, we celebrate and, you know, come together and, you know, celebrate the achievement, but also we still have two games left. We still have a job to do. So anyone thinking, like me, I would like to see 5 minutes of Bowery in goal and 85 minutes of Flinders in goal tomorrow, I don't think it will happen.
No, he's too professional for that. And I think whilst the fans might think it's a good idea, it's also disrespectful to the away side, or in this case, the home side. I think you don't do that. You know, you have to give them the respect of giving them a game with your strongest players available. Whether they're pissed or not, it's another question. I don't know. Part of me says it'd be nice to have played start with Flinders. Part of me says it'd be nice to put Barry in goal for 10 minutes. It just doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of professional football, that's all.
Yeah, the Bowery part, Cam, doesn't sort of suggest fair play. It doesn't suggest, you know, a level playing field. Although he would do a good job, and there's no dispute that he would do a good job. That is a piss take. But there is an argument for Scott Flinders, because what Nigel Clough basically said was, I don't want to weaken my team. I don't want to, you know, we're here to finish second. Just because we've got over the line doesn't mean that we're going to take our foot off the gas professionally. But playing Scott Flinders doesn't weaken the team. Some would argue it strengthens it. He's been there all season. He's been on the bench. He's not complained once. He's played the odd cup game, but not really. He's not had a run in the first team this year because Christy Pym has been phenomenal. As much as it would be nice stats-wise for Pym to finish the season having been ever-present, Scott Flinders deserves at least 45 minutes.
He does. It's a difficult one, yeah, because you want to keep your professionalism and like you said, Christy Pym to be an ever-present. But I suppose it's just that thing that we know that we want to finish second, and essentially it is in our hands whether we finish second or not. We just have to match or better Wrexham's result. And those two definitely don't have anything to play for each, because they both, Wrexham and Stockport, they're both up and they play each other. So neither of them can catch each other. The only ones that are switching places are also Wrexham. So to be honest, I'd like to finish second. So in that case, I'd probably say start Pym, but it would be nice to see Flinders get moments, because he's only played the three Bristol Street Motors Trophy games, and that was it. So even in the Carabao Cup, Nigel took it a little bit more seriously than would usually.
Yeah.
And he didn't get minutes in that either.
No, he didn't. Alan, what about you? Would you know, we're saying, you know, Flinders wouldn't weaken the team at all. We're not sort of suggesting that we'd go up to Barrow and basically put the youth team out. He'll put as strong as physically he can out there. But there are players that do deserve some minutes and some recognition, surely.
Yeah, and I think that will happen, but I don't think Flinders will be one of them, personally. I think he'll just stick with Pimmy. You know, there might be the odd one or two. Williams, if he's fit, I think he'll play some part. And, you know, who knows about Hewitt? It all depends how he's feeling, because he'd got a slight tendonitis, hadn't he? So, I mean, it's just not worth risking them if they're not 100% fit. So he'll just go with who's available and turn the team out accordingly, I think.
Let's go back and have some comments with Cam. They're on the screen now. Cam can see that side of the screen. I really can't, because my eyesight's about as good as James Gale's soberness, to be fair, from this distance. So, comments with Cam.
He wasn't that bad. Okay, maybe he was. Mark says, thought Clough's comment on Gale was funny. Ross also says, Nigel said Gale was pissed. Simon says, Nigel's interview was brilliant. Talking about the turnaround in the second half, Ross says in the comments, I think the great Quinn made the difference. It's an interesting one, to be honest, because we said about Keeler Dunn changing the game. You do notice some big lift when players like that do come on.
Yeah.
Especially because he did play a part in the goal.
Yeah, and Stephen Quinn, especially, Clive, is one of those players, isn't he, that, especially at home, excites players. And we sort of saw the reaction from him afterwards, didn't we? So it was no real surprise to see him included, even though we were sort of speaking a couple of days before saying that would be the perfect ending to score a goal, to get that round of applause, to get promotion, never to play again. But he had to, didn't he? Again, sort of highlighted Nigel Clough's emphasis on finishing second.
Yeah, well, as Cam says, he does bring something to the party, and I think he's also a talisman. And I think it would be a little bit unfair for him not to get a part in the final run-in, and I expect him to play some or all of the game at Barrow as well. By the way, I don't think he'll be hanging his boots up this year. I'm guessing he's going to give it another season now we've been promoted. We'll see.
Maybe that's,
by the way, I thought Clark made a difference coming on as well.
Yeah, I think just generally, I think anyone that came on that it was a little bit fresh, because by that time you've had 70 minutes to sort of sit your hangover off, haven't you, at that point?
Yeah, and I'd say it was 45 minutes of dross. But when the second half came out and whatever, it was a lot better.
It could have been a lot worse. It could have been 45 minutes of bross. But
will I be famous?
Yeah, no, thank you.
that was a bross impersonation.
Yeah, well, we might get kicked off YouTube if we carry on. You know, we're singing like that, they might deem it to be the real thing and get done for copyright.
There's no danger of it being deemed the real thing.
Also true. Back to more comments with Cam.
Simon says in the comments, some of the players look rough in the car park when entering the ground. I felt rough entering the ground, to be honest.
You looked rough when I saw you, to be fair, at like 2 o'clock.
It's one of them things.
You look rough now. So
it was just one of them weeks last week. You just every night you just couldn't sleep because you're like, oh my God, I can't believe we've actually done it. And you just spend every second of every moment just watching the highlights back.
You wait till it's nearly fixture release day, mate.
Oh,
yeah. So that's going to be up there, isn't it?
The joys of iFollow just watching the games back.
Hello.
Adam says in the comment, playing second half free reign to show their thing. Like early season, sublime play. It was pretty good in the second half, to be honest.
Yeah, we sort of found our rhythm a little bit, didn't we? Oh, I can read some comments. If I look at the bottom ones, I can read them. Pim up front, Barry in goal. I'm all for that, says Ross. Barrow still need a result for the playoffs. That's a key thing to talk about as well, isn't it? How, you know, we're sitting here talking about putting our feet up, getting on the beach, getting a suntan and sort of clocking out for the season.
Vegas.
Barrow need a big result and results to go their way. So it's not going to be an easy tie.
No, it's certainly not. It was never going to be easy when we first saw the fixtures come out. You know, we always highlighted this one, didn't we? But I think Stags will go out on a high and I do believe we'll finish runners up.
Certainly hope so. We'll see. We'll get the thoughts, by the way, of a Stockport fan and a Wrexham fan in around 10 minutes time on the podcast as we do something for the first time ever that we've done in 7 seasons of Mansfield Matters. And that is invite people on to the podcast from other clubs. We've never done it, have we, Cam? Never happened?
No, never.
And it was all Clive's idea, wasn't it, Clive?
It was.
Because?
Because we've appeared on Stockport's a couple of times and they seem to like the idea of having a visitor from one of the competitor clubs and it seems to work on there. So I thought it was worth a trial, especially as the three teams that I think most people would agree should have been promoted automatically have been. So a little club of three, and I think that's probably the right reason for doing it.
Yeah, it's a one-off thing. We might do it again next year. Maybe we'll see what happens. But yeah, we're looking forward to, I believe it's Jimmy from the Scarf Bergara War, the Stockport podcast, and Liam from Fearless in Devotion, who's going to come on and join us tonight in around 10 minutes or so. So if you've got any Wrexham or Stockport comments, or are you a Stockport or a Wrexham fan watching, waiting for you, for your equivalent of me, Cam, Alan and Clive, then feel free to say hello and make yourself known as well. Flint said, same thing, he wants runners-up, says Paul. Ben says, I want the second place medal. Forget the messing about. We need to deny Wrexham the storyline they want on the season finale. That'll be one to put to the Wrexham fans as well, because they've had a bit of a trajectory and they'll want that second place for the documentary.
Yeah, they will. Because the media have played it as, I can't remember which one it was. I'm not going to name them because, you know, don't want the argument.
You're a pussy.
The headline was Wrexham denied fairy tale story by Wrexham. It's like, Stockport are probably more of a fairy tale story than Wrexham.
100%.
Having spent 6 seasons in National League North, you look back at you can't see it on the wall. It's basically above my head here. It's a load of cutouts from the season that we won the conference that Craig got because the commentary that season and we won promotion. You look at the table and it was a season that Stockport got relegated to the National League North and it took them this long to get back to League One. Was it 11 years since they were in League One last, but it's because they've just fell and fell and fell.
Yeah, crazy, crazy story.
I mean, there are very few real fairy tale stories because, unfortunately, when you fall through the trapdoor in professional football, you tend to stay beneath the surface. I don't anticipate the likes of Rochdale flying back anytime soon, and we've seen what happened to Bury and what have you. I suppose the one that springs to mind that didn't get the publicity because it predates Hollywood and all the other interests that's out there. Wasn't Salford, it wasn't Stockport, it certainly wasn't Wrexham, it was AFC Wimbledon, because they were treated abhorrently by their owners, and they had to go all the way down to Sunday League or whatever it was to start again, and a fan-owned football club, and they eventually got back in the league and done reasonably well. And in fact, the real bellwether was when they were above MK Dons, having had to come back from nowhere. So I think it's nice to have a fairy tale story. And I don't begrudge Wrexham anything. I think if I were them, I'd be enjoying it like they are. I'm rather more grudging of Salford, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Keep your comments coming in. Have your say on your team. A couple of more minutes to talk about Stags before we invite our transatlantic guests onto the show. Transatlantic, as aka from Stockport and from Wrexham, aka not from Mansfield. Simon in the comments says, score two for the record number of away goals and apparently 1,000 goals in League Two landmark. So again, Alan, something to play for and something which makes Saturday a little bit more tempting and exciting. That wouldn't that be a typical Mansfield thing to do, though, to go and win 1-0, to not get the record away number of goals and fall to literally leave League Two on 9-9-9.
It's nailed on.
Quite possibly, but who knows? I think they'll go out all guns blazing on Sunday at the awards. Every question that the host asked was that, you know, what's the score going to be? And Flint, Keeler, Dunn, they all said 2-0. They're all going to win 2-0.
Yeah, it was a little bit like last night's car park gag, wasn't it, with Nick? It was a little in-joke on the night. If you haven't watched the awards, by the way, go and do so because it's a very interesting night. Obviously, you know, there was the talk about the Bishop Street stand. We are going to come on to that, but after we've had our guests on the show. In fact, what have we got? 8 minutes, actually, before they come on. Let's talk about it now, shall we? So, Clive, you know, we've been talking about it for a long time. We knew that when promotion sort of hit, that would be when an announcement was made. But it's clear for all to see when you read between the lines of what Radford said in the awards evening, this has been sort of ongoing for a while. And then miraculously, you get the appearance of my mate Sid Pepper to the board of directors, of course, of Arrow Max Construction fame. You put two and two together, and for once, I'm not that bad at maths. I'm getting four.
Yeah, I mean, it's been on the agenda for 5 years, but there needs to be a trigger point, and the trigger point was always going to be promotion, because if we don't get promoted, the euphoric swelling of the fan base will dwindle a bit, because that's the nature of things, and we wouldn't have that many reasons to expand the capacity of the stadium. But now we do. Unfortunately, they can't build it in no time at all. It's going to take a year. That's why they've said be ready for the start of the following season. Whether they do any of the preparation during the course of this season, we shall get to know. It was interesting that... On the subject of players being pissed, we ought to have a scale of pissery. I have a scale of awful refereeing. It's a Kettle scale, the Trevor Kettle scale. Depending on how bad they are, depends how many Trevor Kettles I award them. And I think we could have a Carolyn pissery scale, because players were nowhere near as pissed as she was the other night. She loves a drink, doesn't she? Bless her.
Can we call it the James Gale scale? Because it's got a nice ring to it.
Mainly yeah, nice the Gale scale.
And you know what? You can't fault Carolyn at all, because, you know, they have worked tirelessly behind the scenes, Cam, to get this club into the position it is. And especially by sticking with Nigel Clough, we know how emotive she was in the whole Flitcroft situation when we failed that season, and how close she got to Steve Evans and things like that as well. So there would have been a lot.
You can't get very close to Steve Evans.
Well, no, there's a big like buffer. There is like a very bouncy buffer, but I wasn't going to go there. But seriously, Cam, though, like the effort and them devs, you can understand why that emotion from both John and Carolyn. You know, we saw one thing actually from John in that behind the scenes video, which I actually love, and that is just he's a fan like everyone else.
Yeah, it is. And there's a video of them sort of like celebrating as well. And there's John's brother, Stephen Radford.
No idea.
Anyway, John's brother also celebrating. You can tell that they're just fans like everybody else. And it's great that they show this emotion. If you want to go and watch that back, to the award show is also on YouTube, and the celebration. So like the media team did like a match day vlog-esque sort of thing, just following the Radfords around on Tuesday evening against Accrington. Go and watch that back. But the money and the time that they've invested in this club, and like you were saying, it was only a few years ago that they were looking, that we're standing in a empty muddy field in Plesley, and now you've got the RH Academy. So we know that they're committed, because who'd have thought that, well, you go to back 20 years ago, you think, oh, Mansfield Town have their own training ground. You're having a laugh, aren't you?
Absolutely.
And now we were always the same about the Bishop Street stand and whether it'd get done and whether it would actually be done. The only thing that's a bit disappointed about me is they've not released any imagery.
Not yet.
Or any type of teaser or anything. Or I suppose it's you don't want to do too much, but...
Yeah.
Well, I think one thing's got to be clear at the moment is no planning application in, so I don't think they've reached the final design stage yet. I think they've still got some work to do in terms of safety and what have you. But I did pick up on one word in John Radford's statement about the Bishop Street, and that was the word renovate. Renovate.
Well,
that might suggest they're going to renovate the existing stand, which, if it's possible, is no bad thing.
Let's come to that in a little while, because we need to say hello and good evening and welcome to the first ever non-Mansfield Town guest to the Mansfield Matters podcast. His name's Jimmy. He's from the Scarf Begora podcast. First and foremost, Jimmy, welcome to the Mansfield Matters podcast.
Cheers, guys. I did not realise that I was the first non-Mansfield fan, so that's good.
In seven seasons that me and Cam have done together, we've never had an opposition fan. It's when we set out to do this, we always said every other podcast seems to have opposition fans on. So we're just going to go the opposite way. So you are now officially, by virtue of being the first one to click the link, the first to come on. So there you go. And quite apt as well, because, you know, you are top. So,
yeah, I mean, it's been an unbelievable season for us. We've scored the most goals. We've conceded the least goals. It's just been unbelievable. I'm just so thankful to our owner as well, because he's just fantastic. So
nice. You've had a great season. You've had a terrific season, and only one team got the double over on you.
I was going to say, yeah, you did. 2-0 at our place and 3-2 at your place.
And after that, you flew, and we sagged a bit.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. I mean, after you beat us on New Year's Day, I've got to say, I was absolutely devastated. And your fans and your players, in fairness, you thought you'd won the league on New Year's Day, but fair play, you did a number on us at our place. And then we drew the next game, and then we won the next 12. And since then, I think we've lost 2 in the last 19. So we've certainly finished the season extremely well, won the last 8. So not quite sure what's happened with you guys, whether is it injuries or fatigue or a small squad?
I think it's a little bit of everything for us. We don't really have a small squad. Injuries have definitely played a part. I think we've got something like 7 defenders that we're actually missing. So that's certainly contributed to the way we've finished. But you've sort of said, you know, you've won the last however many games. We just ask one thing of you before our guest from Wrexham comes on, and that is one more, please. One more on Saturday. And that is apt timing as well, as we say hello, good evening, and welcome to Liam from Fearless in Devotion. Liam, good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing? You all right?
Very good, thank you. Thanks so much for joining us on the Mansfield Matters podcast tonight, becoming the second ever non-Mansfield podcast fan or Mansfield fan to come on the Mansfield Matters podcast. We were just talking to Jimmy there from the Scarf Begora War about them going on an excellent run towards the end of the season to take the Champions badge. And as much as we're going to be trying to be as fair tonight as we can in the next 10 minutes or so, we've just asked Jimmy for one thing, and that is one more win on Saturday. Sorry, Liam.
It's all right. I think we're just happy to be going up, to be honest with you.
Do you know what? That's the one thing that we were going to sort of say tonight. You know, I think we are 3 clubs that have been through the mire over the last God knows how many years. And I think we sort of said the same when we were the top of the league for a while. We were saying we don't actually care if we win it or not. We just want to be in that top 3. And to sort of sit here at a fan sort of similar to yourself say that, you know, you're not necessarily chasing second spot. We are, because we've been top, and we feel like if you look at like statistics and things like that, you know, we've got the second most amount of wins. We've been the second most amount of draws, second to Stockport. So it feels natural in the way it is. Would you find that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, though, to be fair, that we are 3 proper clubs, aren't we? Mm. Decent history of being in like third, fourth tier. And we're back where we deserve to be. I don't know what you think about that, Liam.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I started watching Wrexham sort of around turn of the millennium, around 2000, you know, League One or the old Division Two, as it was then, is where we were. And whilst our owners have got all these ambitions of getting to the Premier League and stuff, there's one thing I said when they took over, which is I would just like to get back to to where we were, because when I was growing up in the 90s, that's where Wrexham always were under Brian Flynn. And it's quite, I struggled to get my head around it, really, that we're back there in a relatively quick spell since the takeover, albeit with just a small matter of 15 years in non-league.
Yeah. I think we were sort of talking earlier. We've got behind us here, you can't quite see, it's just off camera. We've got like a big sort of A3 frame of the press cuttings from when we won the conference all those years ago. And Cam actually pointed it out, didn't you, that the same season we won it was the same season, Jimmy, that your Stockport went one lower, and sort of that must have been, you know, one of the worst times. So to actually to go down to the north to then come all the way back up and now being in League One in such a swivel sort of turnaround must be, the emotion of that must be absolutely ecstatic.
Yeah, I mean, we dropped into the sixth tier. We were part-time playing teams like Colwyn Bay. And it was horrific, to be honest. And we couldn't see a way back either. Club had no money whatsoever. We didn't have any sort of training ground particularly. We didn't own the ground. So it was awful. And then slowly but surely, you might have heard of this guy, but Jim Gannon, he's a county legend from a playing point of view, but also he's managed us three times. And he just got us that promotion from the National League North into the National League. And then fast forward another 3 years and we get brand new owners, a guy called Mark Stott, who's worth around 350 million quid. So he's got plenty of money in the bank. He's a local guy. And he decided to put some money our way. And let's face it, money talks in football, doesn't it? But in fairness to the guy, not only has he spent some on the playing budget, and I reckon we're probably similar from a budget point of view, us and Mansfield. I think Wrexham have got a little bit of a higher budget than us this season, from what I've seen. But certainly, he's put money into the academy, he's put money into the training facilities, and that is the main thing for us, because we're not going to be getting sponsorships from United Airlines and TikTok and all that sort of stuff. That's obviously for the Hollywood guys to get. So we have to look at Ogden's Pie Shop. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sure he's got a couple of quid down the back of the sofa to give to pass your way. But and I'm sure they taste very nice as well. But no, for us to have the academy, I think that is what we're looking at doing. So we've got a Category 2 academy as it stands at the moment. If we can get in the Championship and get that to Category 1, fingers crossed, we can make some money from that.
I think one of the key things for all three clubs, no matter how you look at it, obviously ourselves and Stockport are very similar in terms of local owners sort of and that sort of controlled budget and the sort of local element to it. Obviously, Liam, you've got Ryan and Rob and obviously all the Hollywood which comes with it. But what... the one thing which connects all three, other than the fact that we've all been through the mire, is the fact that at every one of the three clubs, there's a massive community feel.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we obviously had the period where we are fan-owned, and there's sort of mixed views over that now, just because I think by the time it came to an end, we were, I think in the COVID season, we finished one spot above the relegation zone in the National League. So we were really in danger of going down to the National League North. Things were looking quite bleak. But to me, I there were times during that fan ownership that I really enjoyed. You know, it brought together the community elements of the club. And they're still, they're still there very much as well, though. You know, I still, although there's now 12,000 people at the racecourse, I still see the same faces that I saw when I used to go. So yeah, just, you don't have to convince everyone now to come to a Wrexham game, though. They actually want to come. That's the difference.
What do you think of the media circus around the club now? Is it something sort of that you enjoy or not?
It varies. I mean, I read an article on the Sun website, of all websites, yesterday by some brand expert who is being asked his opinion on Wrexham, and he thought Ollie Palmer could be the next David Beckham.
Sorry.
You've got to wash your mouth out.
You cannot swear on this podcast. You cannot say words like, you can't say words like, you can't say it. It's not happening. Not happening. Obviously, lots of people watching to that, and we've obviously got a couple of questions for both of you. First and foremost, as we were sort of talking about it seconds ago, Chris in the comments, Liam, has put this to you. Can I ask, Liam, how many of the fans consortium who saved Wrexham are still involved at board level, if you know?
So I think that some of them have been given, it's more honorary roles, really, that the, I think Spencer Harris, who, if anyone's watched the documentary, he's featured fairly prominently. I feel like he's got an honorary role now. We have a sort of fans advisory board now, but it's very much lip service, I would say. Not,
yeah.
They don't even meet that regularly. So there's no one really, it's, We've got Sean Harvey on the board of directors now, but I won't talk about that because I got myself in trouble.
Fair enough. And this one to you, Jimmy. Obviously, we were talking about the New Year's Day game earlier on. In that game, we lost Reece Oates. We were talking about injuries and things like that. But also, there was an incident with one of your players, and Simon's asked, I can't remember the name of the player. And to be fair, you have to forgive me, I can't now either, after what we've been through over the last couple of months or so. But how is the player who got concussed on that game?
Was that Kyle Noyle? I think
yes, pretty sure it was.
So that was an incident with one of our own players headbutting the back of his head, basically. He spent 3 months out, not being able to head a ball. So he had some sort of bleeding on the brain. So he was allowed to return to training about 6 weeks later. And then he sort of got his just general sort of training and fitness up, but he wasn't allowed to head a ball. So he came back probably 3 weeks ago and he's fine. Obviously, the first time that he headed a ball, it was Forest Green Rovers away, and I was there. I was like, please be okay when you head that ball. And he was fine. He was brilliant. So
we had the same.
Thank you for asking.
We had the same with James Perch a couple of seasons ago. He had a real like innocuous one in training, fractured his skull, and it looked like his career was over. And the first time he came on, he came as a sub. He didn't even need to head the ball. He could have literally just brought it down with his chest and played it out. Jumped up, no one around him, headed it, and then we celebrated like we'd scored. Yeah. So it is great when you get their moments as a player. Let's take a step back then and let's put the same question to both of you. Obviously, for you guys at Wrexham, Liam, this is your first season back in the Football League. So then to get promoted again, it is the Hollywood script. It is what everybody wants. But I imagine for you guys as well, it has been one hell of a rollercoaster season because at the start, it didn't look like it was going to go that way. When poor old Ben Foster, bless him, he's bent down so often trying to pick that GoPro out the back of the net and then having to pick the ball out of the back of the net so often as well. You must have been thinking, please, God, just retire.
Yeah, well, the first game, I didn't want us to lose, but I almost wanted us to get a bit of a humbling because I sort of thought we were due one, really, just because, you know, there was a lot of fans thinking, oh, we're going to go up and we're gonna, you know, challenge for top spot sort of thing, and I wasn't really convinced myself. So at first I was like, oh, okay, I can hack the MK Dons result, and then we kept conceding 5 goals all the time or something like that in successive games. I was like, this is, I'm not really enjoying this so much now. So yeah, when he went as well, I was like, he's only just signed a deal, what, you know. It was a bit of a culture shock that start this season.
From a personality point of view, though, as well, and from like a humble person perspective, to have the honesty to sort of hold your hands up and say, look, last season was great, but I've started this year, I'm not feeling it as much. Clearly my body's not doing it, and I want to basically give the club the best opportunity to get somebody in to sort of progress. As a fan of long standing and not someone that's jumped on the bandwagon, because there are those, you can't ignore the fact that that has generated some. As a long-standing fan, how is it to see somebody say that and to sort of put the club perspective first rather than personal financial gain?
Yeah, I think most people respected him for what he did. Like I said, I was a bit perplexed by the fact it came after him signing another year. But then, you know what, at least he did it where there was still time for us to get a keeper in and get a decent keeper in after Okonkwo on loan from Arsenal. So, yeah, he was at an event with Paul Mullin not long after all that. He did the interviewing. And everyone was singing his name, so I don't think there was any hard feelings whatsoever off the back of that.
Fantastic. Let's switch to over to Stockport now, then the League Two champions. First and foremost, one last question for you, Liam. As a fan, based purely on being a fan, should Wrexham, your players, give the Stockport players a guard of honour on Saturday afternoon?
I believe it's the done thing now, isn't it? So, I don't see why not. We were very respectful to, you know, Notts County, even when it comes to them finishing second, paid them a lot of respect for the top race they gave us. So in a short answer, yes, we should.
Fantastic. Let's go back to Jimmy then. You expecting a guard of honour for your players on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's going to be a flyover as well with some sort of message on a plane, I believe. So look out for that one, Liam. Haven't got a clue what it's going to say, but there is rumours that there's going to be some sort of flyover.
I love it.
If it says fuck Ali Palmer, we'll go. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Rumour has it that Clive has paid for that and yet still hasn't paid for the Nando's. So moving on to that. Let's go back to your season a little bit, Jimmy, then. And obviously, you know, you've been in League Two for a couple of seasons now, managed to get out of the whole hellhole that is, the conference. You've come so close on a number of occasions, but what was it about this season which made you guys as a fan base really believe that this would be your year?
You know what? I mean, we started the season pretty poorly. I didn't think we were going to go up after the first sort of six games or so. We lost, we drew, we lost. But the big thing for us was the emergence of Louis Barry, who we had on loan from Aston Villa. He's played for a few clubs, sort of League One, League Two level. Not really set the world on fire, Salford, MK Dons, to name two of them. But he came to us and it just clicked. He scored seven goals in seven games in our 12 game winning streak. And he ended up doing a grade 4 tear in his hamstring. So from October to April, he was out, but he definitely laid the groundwork for that season. And I just think we've had sort of good, we've been lucky in that we've had players coming back from injury just about at the right time. When other players have got injured, somebody else has come back, like a real key player, whether it's a Sarsavic, whether it's Kyle Wootton. So I think from that point of view, we've been relatively lucky, although we have had tons and tons of injuries this season. Is it right that when we played you guys, were you playing, was it two centre-forwards at centre-back? Is that,
yes.
Is that right?
Right. Can we stop referring to Jordan Bowery as a centre-forward? Because he is okay. Now a centre-back now.
Okay.
Goalkeeper on Saturday with any luck. Jordan Bowery, to get that joke, has played every position for Mansfield this season and has asked Nigel Clough if he can have 10 minutes in goal at Barrow.
Okay.
I mean, I'm for it, to be fair. But yes, we had... it would have been Bowery and probably Aikens at right-back, I would have thought.
Yeah. And then for the... When we played at your place... on New Year's Day, didn't Ollie Clark end up at centre back? So centre mid, attacking, more attack minded centre mid, ended up at centre back. And what a shit show our team has been sometimes this season.
It's been a show.
I think Wrexham was a terrible game, to be honest, on Sky a few weeks ago. We ended up with Aikens and Bowery in the centre backs. And
oh, yeah, when Hewitt got clattered early doors and we were all thinking,
James, was that the game where Wrexham got a penalty, which was a foul committed about 80 yards outside the box?
Never a penalty.
And James McLean should have been sent off after 2 minutes.
Yeah, had he committed that foul halfway through the first half, the referee would have given him a red
card.
I'm sure
he's good at that, though. He's good at the dark arts.
Oh, fair enough, you know, that's good.
Listen, do you know what? I've got no complaints about that game because the first goal that... Our weakness this season, undoubtedly for me, has been conceding the first goal. And especially since the turn of the year, when we've conceded first, we have really struggled. And that first goal we conceded was absolutely terrible from a positioning point of view. Poor Macca, he got pulled left, right and centre. And he ended up in Newport. So, you know, we've no complaints about that. The second one and the DKD one. Nah. Mm-hmm. But it's over. It's done with. And at the end of the day, it's not hampered any of us because we're all up. So with that in mind, we'll keep you for another couple of minutes and then we'll let you get on with your evenings. What are you most looking forward to about getting up to Sky Bet League One? It could be a ground that you're looking forward to visiting. It could be the way that something the club's going to do, whatever it may be. I'll start with you, Liam. From a Wrexham perspective, what are you most looking forward to about life in Sky Bet League One?
So mine sort of depends on happenings in the Championship, because one of my first away days with Wrexham was at Sheffield Wednesday. We beat them 3-2, and that was one thing that really helped me get hooked on going to away games. So I would like to be able to repeat that experience again, but that is very much dependent. I think, as I said earlier, though, just in general, it's just the feeling of being back where I personally feel like we belong, having grown up in the 90s and, you know, seen those teams. So I think it's just that feeling for me more than anything is what I'm looking forward to.
Jimmy, same question to you. What are you most looking forward to about life in Sky Bet League One?
Higher away attendances. It's been difficult getting
hang on.
Give us some more tickets.
You shafted us. You can't be saying that.
To be fair, I think we're going to do that to a lot of teams next year because we'll do exactly what we do with the North Stand and give them one block.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry, Jimmy, carry on.
No, that's okay. That's okay. So, yeah, I mean, like grounds like Wigan, I think they give 4,000 and they're pretty local to us as well. So Wigan, I'm hoping Birmingham get relegated. I've got a mate who lives in Birmingham. That's a fantastic ground. Sheffield Wednesday, obviously. Just can't wait to go to those sort of places. Although I will say that Forest Green, I don't know if you guys have... Did you go to the away game? Forest Green?
Do not talk to me and Cam about Forest Green.
Okay,
then. We love Forest Green.
So Forest Green is one of those horrendous places which they belong where they finished this season. Mm. They should never darken the Football League again. Absolute joke of a club. I went there when it got it was hammering it down with rain and it got caught off at halftime. It shouldn't have even started. And then on my, 31st birthday, I was doing commentary and Cam was with me that night. It was the one which got fogged off after 8 minutes. And yeah, it was a fucking
joke.
It's
a long wait. Especially because of where it is, all this fog, there was nothing before kickoff.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect. So it was dark, but you could get to the ground perfectly fine. On the way back, driving through these country lanes at 20 mile an hour because you're like, oh,
20?
Shit.
I was doing two. Yeah, and still like, scared.
This car's coming.
Shocking.
Awful place. And
can they just spring to Forest Green's defence here? They can't control the weather.
No, go,
but what
no.
they can do
no,
is serve
no, go away. No, no. You can't. No. No, you cannot spring to Forest Green's defence. I'll let him back in a minute. Let him sit on the suspension, on the naughty set for a minute. we'll let you go in just a second. We're going to give the panel an opportunity to ping a question at either of you in just a second. So Alan, Clive and Cam have a little think of one. But let's start with this one from Paul. So we'll put it to both of you. And that is, first and foremost, to both Stockport and Wrexham, if you had to sign one Mansfield player in this summer, who would you sign? So Liam, I'll let you go first on this one.
Davis Caledon, because
you're not having him back. You ruined him last time. You're not having him again.
he did well for us, to be honest, but it was only a very short spell under Dean Keats, and we didn't really play the most attacking football, so I think maybe we didn't see the best of him. But I saw enough to know he was a decent player, though, so yeah.
You can't have Davis Caledon. You can definitely keep Jimmy, what about you? If you were in control and could sign one Mansfield player, who would you sign for Stockport in summer?
I'd actually prepared for this question, and I'm going to say exactly what I wrote. Davis Keeler Dunn.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Player. That's what I said in my little notes. So yeah, I mean Flint's done well for you. He was excellent at Edgeley Park when you beat us 2-0. He's pretty old now, isn't he? But I mean, we have central defender just like him, so we don't need
Paddy.
Him. Yeah, Keeler Dunn.
Yeah,
we'll have Paddy.
Yeah,
You can take Paddy, but we're gonna have to have £1 million off you. We absolutely love him. He's absolutely brilliant.
I've got it.
And you know what? The thing with Paddy is that he sort of goes off the boil a little bit, sort of midpoint of the season. But when it really starts getting important, like last couple of months, he just steps up and he's dragged us over the line in so many games. Over the last couple of months that we just thought, yeah, we're not going to win that. And he pops up with a goal and everyone hates him. Like all the opposition fans absolutely hate him because he always pops up and scores against you. A bit like Paul Mullen, to be honest.
I know exactly who you can have from Mansfield. Here on Boateng. Alan, your question. Ooh. One question and one question only. Who's it for?
It's for the Wrexham gentlemen. What would you think to Macaulay Langstaff coming to Wrexham that's been touted about?
I just can't see it, to be honest. And I'd love it. You wouldn't say no to a striker who scores that many goals, but I almost wonder how he would fit up alongside Paul Mullen as well, because we're not going to be getting rid of any time soon. And I can't say the other striker's name who plays alongside him.
I was thinking you could get rid of him and have Langstaff.
Well, the thing about
you may
man,
refer to him as Twatto.
The thing about that man who must not be named is the goals have dried up.
For him. Voldemort.
Yeah, the goals have dried up for him now, but he is still a good foil for Mullen in that you know he does a lot of the nitty gritty work. I mean, like I said, you would never say no to a player like Langstaff. Obviously, if we could afford him, we'd have him hands down. But it's just trying to work out, you know, where players fit in as well. I think it's important.
Clive, one question and one question only. Who's it for?
Stockport.
Shoot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm terrifically pleased that apart from us getting promoted, that Stockport's been promoted for all the reasons we've covered earlier. I understand there's some major redevelopment planned for Edgeley Park. Can you give me some information on that?
Yeah, so we've got two very small stands at the moment. One is the railway end that is behind the goal, which is uncovered, holds about 1,200. So the plans are to build a 5,000 sort of seater stand there, so to match the Cheadle end. And then the other side, so where the away fans sit, or sorry, down the side of the pitch, which is called the Together Stand, that's going to be redeveloped as well. And there should be another probably 4,000 there. So we're looking to increase the capacity to around the 18,000 capacity mark. And that should be what we've done in phases. So the first phase hopefully should be finishing by the end of the by the end of 2025-26 season. And then if we get into the championship, the owners said that we'll do the other phase as well. So that'd be fantastic, an 18,000 seat stadium. Can I just say though, if you can't talk about the player that can't be named, why don't you call him Polly Armour? So it sort of sounds the same. Jimmy, but it's obviously not.
You're trying too hard.
This is why you're champions, because you've got champion suggestions. However, this is the Mansfield Matters podcast. Okay. And we just do not have the brain power for it. As I'm going to prove by this, Cam, you've got one question and one... Actually, no, you haven't, because nobody could care what your question is. And if I could boot you out like I could do every week, I would, but I'm nearer the door than you. So, and I suppose you want to lift home as well, don't you?
You don't have to.
Put it down.
It can walk. Right. That is almost all we've got time for from you two gentlemen.
Special guest.
Really appreciate you guys coming on tonight. Final question for both of you, and it is, who's going to finish in what place? Obviously Stockport champions, but we are tied on 85 points apiece, Mansfield and Wrexham. Mansfield the superior goal difference on plus 43, Wrexham on plus 36. So first and foremost, Liam, who's finishing second, Mansfield or Wrexham?
I feel like we're going to win on Saturday. I don't know why, just home soil. So I think that's why. I still think we're going to finish third, though. I still think we're going to finish third just because of the goal difference.
Fair play. And Jimmy, obviously, champions elect, you get to have the final say. How's the top three going to look? Stockport top, who's second and who's third?
I think Mansfield second. I think we're going to do a job on Wrexham. I think our players are motivated enough to do it.
And that is exactly why both of you are very welcome again in the future. Just before you go, opportunity to tell all our viewers and all our listeners all about your podcast. So let's start with third place in Sky Bet League 2, as it will be on Saturday afternoon come 5 p.m. Let's start with Fearless in Devotion and Liam.
Yep, so Fearless in Devotion is a weekly Wrexham podcast, which we didn't just cynically launch when the Hollywood takeover happened in order to garner an audience. We did. We have sort of regular guest spots with former players, that type of thing. Can't get current ones because the club won't allow us. Boo-hoo.
We know that feeling.
Yeah, but who needs them, eh? Who needs them? So, yeah, it's on YouTube, Spotify. We're on Twitter, all those various places. And we've actually got a live show on tomorrow night. So, yeah, we're doing one at a local venue. So, fingers crossed that goes well.
Great. Just stealing our thunder at this point. Jesus.
This feels like, you know, but they've watched everything that Mansfield Matters have done. Live shows, Facebook, like all of that stuff is coming along. Hollywood's come along and said they'll do it. But to be fair to Fearless in Devotion, there is about 9 million more Wrexham podcasts out there as well. Because like everyone who's got any association with Wrexham and, you know, has got a Wrexham podcast. So go and give those guys a follow. Run by fans who have been there through thick and thin. Good luck for Saturday. And we will see you in League One next season. We'll definitely get you back on for a League One preview and ahead of our games as well. Finally, Jimmy, this Champions podcast of League Two this season. Tell us all about the Scarf-Bergara War.
Can I just ask Liam one question before?
Go.
What do you think about the American watch-alongs? Have you seen any of those? No,
I haven't. No, someone haven't mentioned you? These on.
Oh my!
On these Red Passion, and they're meant to be quite the experience. The only thing I will say is that I have met some of our American contingent who've come over to the race course in person now, and there are some decent people who have actually made quite a hell of a lot of effort to come and follow it. So I have to sort of even it out by giving those guys a mention as well.
Okay, fair enough. So Scarpegar Award has been going 9 seasons, started by my colleague Russ Johnson.
Oh, shit, we copied them.
Shit.
I've actually only been on it.
Take everything back you said, Cam.
Yeah, I've only been on it for the last 6 weeks. So I sort of go on the Courtyard Club call, which is specifically reviewing the previous game. So Russ sort of does the funny stuff on a Wednesday, like an hour and a half. And I do the boring tactical stuff with Waggy and Dan. We're looking to continue running it through the close season, get some Euro stuff, maybe try and get some players on as well, and some coaches as well. So, it's good. Good fun.
Fantastic stuff. Go and give those guys a follow. And if you do manage to get ex-players on and you get James Jennings on, make sure you give him all the best from Mansfield fans as well.
I'll tell you what, I met James Jennings in a cafe just down the road from me on Mother's Day last year. And he was out there. He was at the cafe with his wife, 2 kids. And I had to say hello, obviously, because he's a county legend as well. He's on the coaching staff. And he gave me about half an hour of his time just chatting away. Lovely, lovely guy. Top person. And his brother as well, obviously, what he went through with.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's also part of one of our great... I've got to take my headphones off to do this, but great a minute. But yeah, he's part of our
promotion winning
side. So he's okay. Metaphorically, he'll always be a Mansfield legend anyway. Pretty much most of them are in
what, like Ollie Palmer?
Get rid of him!
It's Polly Armour, anyway.
Polly Armour. No.
And this is why I get to do that. There you go. Jimmy, thanks so much for coming on as well.
No worries.
I'm afraid you get the same treatment. Okay. See you in League One. There we go. I better but just go on Twitter. You've got the login for the Mansfield Matters one, haven't you, on
Ever?
Twitter?
No.
I think so. I could just give you my phone. There you go. Just message the Wrexham guy and just put laughing face and say good luck for next season. Right, that is almost all we've got time for. No, it is not, because we need to talk open top bus parades, don't we? Alan, are you going to the open top bus parade?
No.
Clive, are you going to the open top bus parade?
No.
Cam, are you going to the open top bus parade?
Yes.
Ah, well, there you go. Well, I can tell you the route because I'm not, unfortunately. Following our promotion to League One, details have now been confirmed for our open top bus parade around Mansfield this Sunday, the 28th of April. The team's players and coaching staff will parade through the streets of Mansfield with the bus leaving Wankhorst Stadium from 1 p.m. The fan zone, as well as the club's new marquee. Alan, it's great, isn't it? The new marquee.
It is. Very good. Very impressive.
Opposite the Ian Greaves stand will be open to supporters from 12 p.m. until approximately 7 p.m. for refreshments. After leaving Wankhorst Stadium at 1 p.m, the bus will travel through Mansfield and will pass by the following venues: the Sir John Cockle, 1:15; Bold Forester, 1:20; William the Fourth, or is it William Fifth? William Fourth, isn't it? Roman numerals. Top House, 1:25; Marketplace, 1:45 to 2:15. Talbot/Ilrosso at 2:40, and then back at the Wankhorst Stadium at approximately 3 p.m. The above-mentioned timings are approximate, so please factor this in when making travel plans. Upon arrival at the Marketplace, the bus will travel along Clumber Street, then down Leeming Street, and after a stop, will then make its way onto Westgate. Please note that there will be road closures in and around the Marketplace from 12 p.m. until approximately 3 on Sunday in the following areas: the top of Regent Street, the top of Leeming Street, the entrance to Market Street, Westgate, Stockwell Gate, entry to the Marketplace, and Queen Street/Exchange Row. All the details you need, including the map, are on mansfieldtown.net. And speaking of... links and all of things like that, make sure you go and keep voting in the Mansfield Matters end of season awards. And of course, there is one vital thing that is left to play for, which is, of course, this. So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? It's the guessing game that brings you zero fame. But to be the best, you must outguess the rest. So will they win, lose or draw? And what will be the score? In the League or Cup, you just make it up. Because they're just works of fiction. It's podcast predictions. Will they win, lose or draw? It's the competition which has kept us guessing all season long, and we've got one final game to go. First and foremost, though, let's read out the names that are outside of the top 10. So if your name's not mentioned, you've either not scored any points or you're in the top 10. Outside the top 10, I'm not going to read your scores out. I'm just going to give you a name check. We've got Adam Crump, me, Clive, Stephen Yule, Simon Wilson, Tim Phillips, Proud Stags, Marie Wilson, Keely of Her Game 2 fame, Sarah, Kathy, Oatley Stags, Stephen Pound, Paul Broomhead, Darren Wood, Roger King, Cam, Joe Dalman, Richard Spencer, Ian Brown, Aaron Jim, who's not with us tonight, Sam Pateman, Matt W, Matt Green, not that one, Craig Vincent, Dennis Sims, Craig Foster, Mark Lapko, Alison Crump, Mitchell the American, Taxi Pete, Craig Pateman, The Gate, Aaron Nathan Edge, John, Gabby A, Teddy Oliver, Sarah Armson, Bebop New Boys, Jubs, Nick Welsh, Tara S, Daniel Gilbertthorpe, Kerry Crump, Liam Smith, Joe, Kyle Whitty, Mr. Tickle, steady, Watson Wanderers, Luke Bramall, Corey Watrous, Oliver 425, Yellow Gaz, Lorna, Kyle Bingley, Joe Truman, Radcliffe Stag, Mel Shatlock, Emma Vincent, Supermel, Mark, Tom King. All of you have got points, but you are not in the top 10. So without any further ado, I think we should reveal who is in the top 10. Shall we do, seeing as you're here with me, Cam, and you can see it, shall we do alternate numbers? So if you take even numbers, I'll take the odd numbers. So I finish on
do
number
one. Do
you
know one. What an odd and even number is?
Do you want a slap? Because I will slap you around the face.
Where's Clive gone?
He's just disappeared.
Where's Clive? Oh.
He's just turned his camera off. He'll be back in a minute. Yeah. Anyway, let's do the top 10, shall we, of podcast predictions. Let's do this.
So in at number 10, it is Nick of Mansfield Town Shirts fame and Will Pound, or his nickname, Will Quid, on 89 points.
In at 9, it's David S on 90.
In at number 8 is JS and Ashley Mutter on 91.
In at 7, it's Chris Ellison and Fathead, whoever Fathead may be, on 107.
In at 6 is Mrs. Crump on 102. I think that's 101.
101. In at 5, it's Stags Chat and Kiwi Stag on 108.
Podcast predictions, Maestro, whatever you've called him in the past, Ben Swain on 112.
Which means the top three names we've not mentioned yet. In at 3, 117, it's Cam's dad, Nick.
Boo.
Bringing up number 2, it is
Alan Wilson on 118.
And leader of the pack, Steve Nadin on 133. So
well done,
Steve. Will you be there at the end of the season? Because it could all change. Finally, though, that's at the Mansfield Matters Podcast Predictions League. In at 7, it's Nathan Edge on 13.
In at number 6, it's Jim.
On 43. Oh, 43. Read the scores out, you moron. In at 5, it's the moron on 54.
In at 4, it's Clive Parkin on 86 points.
In at 3, it's me on 87.
In at number 2, it's Nick of MTSC Shirts Frame on 89 points.
And if you didn't stumble up over your bit, we'd just hit the music bed bang on. But we all know who's winning at the moment. It's Mr. Alan Wilson on 118. However, I've got one final question to ask all of you. Should we have a twist in the tail? Cam, yes or no?
Oh, let's make it interesting. Yeah, go on then.
Clive, yes or no? Should we have a twist in the tail?
I'll say yes.
Alan, should there be a twist in the tail?
There's going to be one anyway, so yes.
Yeah, well done. You read between the lines there, lads. There is going to be a twist in the tail.
Does it involve buying Nando's?
I have to categorically say at this point that these are completely Ben's suggestion. I want this to just do shit or bust. I want it to basically do, you know, all in or anything. But Ben is being the reserve guy that he is, and I've got to appreciate this as well. He's made it more interesting by giving you three options. So they are as follows.
You just saying, I'm glad that somebody else is doing the maths for this, because this would confuse the Fuck out of me.
That's exactly what I mean. Anyway, the options are you play the game as normal, so you have no gamble. However, because it is the final game, points are worth triple. So play the game as normal and get triple points. Option two is you can gamble all of your points that you've got so far this season. So, Alan, you could gamble all of your 118 points, but you need to get the score and player of the match to either double your current points, your complete total, or if you don't get them right, lose the lot. Or your third option is gamble 50% of your current points, which Cam, maths would be half of 118.
Oh,
59.
Yeah.
Well done, Al.
Jesus Christ.
59 points on the perfect prediction. So that is outcome, scoreline, and player of the match. But if you get it all right, you will triple your points.
Oh, God.
But if you get it wrong, you've only lost 50% of your points. That makes sense?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I didn't come up with it. So it is podcast predictions time. Let's see who does what. We, of course, have Barrow away. And we will start off with the leader of the pack. Alan, your scoreline for Barrow away, please.
Barrow 0, Mansfield Town 2, DKD.
And are you going with players normal, gamble everything, or gamble 50%?
Players normal.
Ooh, okay. Clive, you are up next. What are you going to do?
You want to forecast?
Forecast first, please, yeah.
Barrow 1, they'll score first. Mansfield Town 4. Lucas Aitkins. Shit or bust.
So you're going for gamble all your points? Gamble yes. All?
All of them, and tech cams as well.
Okay. I'm writing it down.
Unbelievable.
All in cams. Cam, come on then. What's your prediction?
2-0 Mansfield, Stephen Quinn, man of the match, and I've got to try and beat my dad, so I think I've got to gamble all my points.
Okay. That has given me a dilemma because for pure entertainment, I'll come to my score in a minute, but for pure entertainment, I wanted to gamble all my points. But at the same time, I don't want to finish below him.
Decisions.
Mansfield will win 3-0. Man of the match will be... Oh, who's a safe bet to start? I don't even think Christy Pym's a safe bet to start. I've got a feeling he's going to go with Flinders. Do you know what? As long as he comes... Come on. Right, Lewis Reed.
I was going to say Reed, but I thought surely he's got to play DKD if he wants to win it.
And what am I going to do? Am I going to go all in or am I going to go 50%?
Ooh, drum roll.
All in. All in. Oh. I'm going all in. Oh. All in. We'll put all the details that we need that you need on our social media tomorrow. Go and give it a follow. Also, go and give the guys a follow from who came on tonight. Really appreciate their time and everything as well. That is almost what we've got time for because we ran over a little bit with the two guys coming on. We should have predicted that would happen. However, one more game left in Sky Bet League 2, Alan. First and foremost, are you going to be delighted when the full-time whistle comes in? Not just because you're going to join us at Nando's, but that League Two is behind us for at least a season.
Yes, definitely.
Clive, one more game to go. Records to beat, 1,000 League Two goals potentially to achieve, records to break. Can Mansfield do it one more time?
Easy. Put your house on it.
I don't think I'll do that.
No.
Cam, one more game to go. Are we going to see it? Is Jordan Barry going to put the gloves on?
Barry won't. I think it'd be comfortable.
That's certainly...
Barrel bottle it.
That is... Well, certainly hope so. My thanks to Alan Wilson, to Clive Parkin, and to this guy next to me as well, and to you guys for watching and listening at home as well. We will see you next time on the Mansfield Matters podcast. But first, I need to do this. So that is all we've got time for on tonight's Mansfield Matters podcast. My thanks to Clive Parkin, to Alan Wilson, to Cam Felton, and of course, to our two guests from the Scarf Begara War and from Fearless in Devotion, Jimmy the Stockport fan and Liam the Wrexham fan. They were great entertainment and great to have them with us this evening. Do go and give them a follow. Don't forget to get involved with podcast predictions, where literally if you've got 1 point or even if you've got no point, you could still win the entire effing thing by taking place. Yes, you could. By taking part in the podcast predictions on Saturday. And make sure you keep voting for the Mansfield Matters end of season awards. We will reveal the winners Sunday, the 5th of May. Everybody will be here at Mansfield Matters HQ for the end of season review show, which will include the quiz, which will include the awards, and include a few laughs along the way as well. This is the Mansfield Matters podcast. It's the show for the fans, by the fans. Why?
Because Mansfield always matters.
Good night, and we'll see you on the 5th of May for one final podcast as we say goodbye to League Two.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.